I am Skylar Murray. Been going to The Rock for about 4 years. Shortly after starting to attend The Rock, we were both saved, my wife and I. And I'd been introduced to God earlier in my life, but it had never stuck. First night I walked in, I was wearing a Tiger Army t-shirt, and Billy Johnson looked over at me and quoted one of their songs, and I knew this was going to be a different church experience for me and my wife. Shortly after starting to go, we got married, and I had brothers encouraging me to make that commitment, especially since we were Christians. Now that we're married, they encouraged me to be a leader in the marriage and to lift her up to God, and are teaching me how to teach her. They're also constantly encouraging me to lead in the church by cleaning up after or serving on security or leading worship, things like that. And it's uplifting to be surrounded by a community and truly feel a body of believers that is there to support you, not pass judgment, not ridicule you, but lift you up. And I felt that almost as long as I've been going to The Rock.
Church, how are we all doing? That is a sweet little story of Skylar. I love you a whole lot, brother. You bless our church. It's been a privilege to watch the Lord work in your life. I love your story. You know, Skylar's story is not really too unique when it comes to people coming through the doors of the Rock Church. You roll in and people start loving on you. And the Lord just really starts doing this awesome work in your life. It's kind of just in the DNA of the local church, and that resonates with me a whole lot. I remember being a long-haired rocker dude rolling into the church, and the Lord really whipped me into shape. And now my hair is trying to catch up to Skylar's. It'll take a minute, though. Anywho, hey, Pastor Brian here. First-time caller, long-time listener. Hope to meet you sometime after service. Welcome to The Rock Church. We are in the second week of our Win, Build, Send series. And last week, Pastor Bill kicked it off. He opened up the first mission, the first, whatever you call it, of our vision statement, winning the lost. Is in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, the Lord has called us to be disciple makers, to go and win the world, to have an influence on the world, to have an impact on the world. Winning the lost. If you missed that sermon, go check it out. It's a home run. Pastor Phil did a wonderful job. That's true here at The Rock Church. We have a real strong passion to win people to Jesus. Evangelism, relationships, sharing the gospel. That's just one area of our influence as a Christian. But that's not the only area, right? Going out in the world and sharing the gospel and seeing people saved, that's one side of our three-sided coin as Christians, but there's another vision that we believe in here at The Rock Church, and that's building or discipleship, which we'll get into. But when someone gets saved, when someone becomes a Christian, they step from their old life and they turn from sin to trust in Jesus. When that happens, we celebrate, and that's really fun, and God's called us to do that. But that's not the end of our influence. We don't just high-five them and go, dude, congratulations, welcome to the club, here's a book, it's called the Bible, you got all the answers, and I'll see you on the flip side, heaven, right? No, we don't do that. There's a whole lot. Then there's this evangelism, and there's let's winning, and let's seeing them come to Christ, and then there's, oh, now let's get them into the bride, their sons and daughters. God has adopted this person and brought them into the family. So let's show them what this family's all about. Am I right? That's called discipleship. That's influence. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. And that's what the second part of our vision means. Build the believer. Like Skylar's story, like so many of your stories, your life has been radically impacted by the influence and discipleship of another sister in the faith or brother in the faith. Building the believer, it's this integral part of our purpose at The Rock Church because it's Jesus' vision for us. You're going to hear these verses a lot this week and next week and for the rest of our lives because this is what Jesus Christ has called us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Pastor Mac is going to be preaching on that next week, sending people out into the world. But we've been called to make disciples, do something in people's lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, seeing them baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, to obey all that I, Jesus, have commanded you. We're serious about that here because the Lord has called every single one of us who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, he says, this is now the hat you wear every day for the rest of your life until I return or call you home. So we're going to talk about discipleship and what that means for you. And I know there's some under my voice this weekend who are going to say, you know, discipleship's not really my thing. I'm kind of messy. Or they're pretty messy. I don't really want to ruffle my feathers with them. Or you're going, you know what? I did that once, and I really got burned by someone, and I'm never going to let my guard down again. Or possibly you just might be a little confused. You may be thinking, I thought like that whole discipleship thing was like, I thought that's what pastors and like deacons and like full-time ministry and missionaries, all the hardcore Christians, I thought that's what they did. And I'm not quite hardcore yet. I'm still a little punk rock. I'm still into ska a little bit. I haven't matured in my punk rock. Or maybe you're just like, you know what? My life's pretty overwhelming right now. The season of life that I'm in right now, I cannot handle another dumpster fire, right? My life is a hot mess minus the hot. I don't think anybody's going to want to be paying attention to what I got going on right now. Or maybe you're going, man, Great Commission, making disciples, influencing people. Man, that really fires me up. Or maybe you're going, somebody influencing and discipling me, maybe that fires you up. Well, I'm glad you're here. We're going to talk about that. If you fall into any one of those categories, my desire today is that you would hear this. God's word is very clear that no matter where you may be at today, the Lord has called every single one of us to this commission. Because you have incredible value. You have influence in the world, out in the world, yes, and equally true in the local church. So with that, our message this weekend is called Build, an influence that matters. If you'd like to follow along, there's a handout. It's also worked as air conditioning if it gets a little steamy in here, if it gets a little hot. But you can follow along, or the Rock Church app have all these notes here for you. But with our time, we're going to unpack these three things. How is Jesus building into me? How are others building into me? And how am I building into others? So if you bow your heads with me one more time, we will pray and we will get rolling. I will get y'all out of here by 8:45. Lord Jesus, we love you. We really do. Thank you that we could come and sing worship. We can proclaim your excellencies. We can cry out to you. You're beautiful, Lord. We love you. Thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for the life that you've called us to live in. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Rock, in whom all God's children said, Amen. All right. Now, before we get into all the influence others have on us and the influence we can have on others, let's start here. 101. A disciple, you, Christian, is being influenced by Jesus. Amen? That's our world. We signed up for that. Here at the Rock Church, we believe that your relationship with Jesus is the most essential thing. That is what we are all about here, building you up in your faith as you walk with the Lord. And that begins right here, that influence right here. This is where we come to hear from God. Jesus has spoken. God has given us his word. Your pastor's here. We're really passionate about preaching this to you. Spoiler alert, we're never going to find another book to preach about. This is it. God's given us this, and we're going to roll with it. This is God's word. It speaks to us. Jesus is building into you when you come to his word. That's influence. And that's point A, right? We should be, as believers, looking to be influenced by the Lord. We should be reading God's word daily. This should just be a part of our life. Like, we can't live without it. Our day is ruined without it. Think about how much breakfast impacted you this morning. Like, you were discombobulated, unclear where you were, whose children are these. You had no idea what was going on until you got that cup of coffee and that fat bowl, Captain Crunch or whatever it is. And then all of a sudden you started realizing, oh yeah, I know who I am. I know what I'm about. I know whose kids these are. Those are my kids. Right? Your breakfast radically impacted your day today. God's word is no different. It should have the same kind of impact. We are a hot mess every morning until we get to God's word and say, like, oh God, who do you say I am? Oh, that's right. Okay. Woo. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself this morning, this evening. Okay, here we go. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. He's saying there should be a desire, there should be a hunger, there should be a thirst for us as followers of Jesus, that God's word is essential to us, like food is for our bodies. Is God's word essential to you, like insulin is to the diabetic? Like your body needs it. Is God's word essential to you, like a baby's mommy is essential for its survival? Is God's word, is the influence Jesus have on you, is that essential to you like a pacemaker is for a bad heart, that you can't live without it? That's what Jesus says here when he says, you shouldn't just live by bread alone. You need the word of God. That should be influencing us every day. Do whatever it takes to get your nose in your Bible every day. God's speaking to you. Next, more 101, we know this. We should be influenced by the Lord by speaking to the Lord. We should be talking to the Lord daily. The Lord is near. You know, that's a truth about God. The Lord is near to all who call on him. That's how personal, that's how real the Lord is. We call this prayer, don't we? We have access to the maker of heaven and earth. We can come to him. We can approach him with confidence. Jesus says we can call him Father. That's incredible. Do we tap into that? The Lord's equipped us with prayer, his word, and thirdly, his people. As people who are being influenced by Jesus, we should obey Jesus when he says that we should be being influenced by God's family. We need to be connected to God's family. Acts 2, and all who believed were together, sons and daughters, together, a family, and had all things in common. This area of influence that others have in our lives, that's where we're going to spend the bulk of our time, because we here at The Rock Church, we are deeply committed to building into you. That's a vision we have. And that happens in real, intentional discipleship relationships. So we will break that down. Our second point for this weekend is a disciple is being influenced by others. And there's lots of language we use here to explain this, isn't there? We call it the local church. We call it fellowship. We call it community. We call it missional community. We call small groups, discipleship, doing life together. There's lots of ways to say essentially the same thing, and it's this. God is going to use the men and women inside of the local church to build into you. And the New Testament, man, it's so full of the responsibilities that we have when it comes to doing life together. If you did a word study on one another, there's 40, 50 verses, depending on the translation, where you'll see this, the same theme of one another. I'll give you a few of the verses right here. Listen to what God has called you to be for others, and likewise what others have called to be for you in the local church. In Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, through love we should serve one another. Galatians 6:2, we should bear one another's burdens. Colossians 3, we should be teaching and admonishing, warning, charging, instructing one another. In 1 Thessalonians, we should be encouraging one another, and there's our word, build one another up. This is what God's called us into, this type of life. He has put the men and women sitting around you today. Yeah, look at them, look to your left, look to your right, and go, oh, them, really? Yeah, them. He's put these people in your life to benefit you in so many ways, these kind of ways. Do you know that? Do you believe that? That's influence. It's discipleship. And maybe you hear this and you're going, man, I don't know if I have people like that in my corner. We want to help you. Here's where you can start. If you're like, that sounds good. Yes, I'll have some of that. You can write these down. One, pray. Just straight up go, Lord, would you open up that opportunity? Would you bring that gal into my life or that dude into my life that could pour into me? Just say, God, would you make it crystal clear that this person's someone you want to help me love you more? And then Don't be scared to ask the question. If you're looking to be discipled, if you're looking to grow in your faith, just say, hey, dude, would you be interested in discipling me? Would you be willing to get together and hang out and talk about life? I've got a lot of questions. I haven't got it figured out yet. And I know you don't either, but maybe you could help me try and figure it out a little bit. That's discipleship. Just ask the question and stick around. Just stick around. You know, one thing I love about our church is there's this culture of like lingering, like after service, especially Saturday night, y'all are wild. Like your kids are falling asleep. They're running around and falling asleep because they're just ready to go home, but they also want to keep partying. Like y'all don't go home. It's so beautiful. Relationships are being built up. People are being introduced to one another. New people being introduced to 17, 27 people after service. If you want to get yourself into some real intentional relationships and discipleship, when that bell rings, when you see that band get up to crack out that last song, don't just start running for the door. Stick around for a minute. You're missing out on what God has for you right here. Make some effort. Stick around. And remember, with discipleship, friendships, relationships go two ways, don't they? One big mistake people often make when it comes to discipleship, it's, well, that person reaches out to me and they ask me the questions and they do all the giving and I get all the receiving and they do all the initiating and they do the texting and the following up, but I don't really respond or really put, I don't really put much effort into that. That's an awful relationship, am I right? Those are the worst friends. Don't be like that. God's working in your life through this person. God's working in their life through you. Be committed to them. Reach out, respond, initiate, invite. And then next, look for mature, not perfect, okay? Oftentimes, this people won't even enter into this world of discipleship because they're just waiting for that perfect someone who's got it all figured out to pour into them. It's like they're waiting for the Apostle Paul to resurrect from the dead and show up and knock on the door and be like, sorry, I've been buried for 2,000 years. I didn't realize you needed some help. Sorry about that. I apologize. I'm here. It's not real life. Make sure you don't set a standard on someone that you wouldn't want set upon you. Don't expect perfect, but you should be looking for mature. Does this person have a passion for Jesus? Do they love the men and women of the church? Are they serving others? Are they invested in people? Look for that. And then seek out more than one. Sometimes you need the influence of more than one person. Sometimes that one person can't give you all the time and the energy that you're expecting from them. That's okay. Maybe you should be looking for multiple relationships, finding other brothers and sisters in the faith to be doing life with, and let them influence you as well. I can tell you, when I was brand new baby Christian at the ripe old age of 23 or so, I was all young and dumb and lonely and mad and confused. And I needed fellowship like daily. Like 20 minutes after church on a Saturday night was not going to cut it for me. What am I going to do for the other 6 days of my life? So I got busy filling up my life with other believers. This is a little bit what my schedule looked like for a while. So on Saturdays, I'd go to church, of course. Sundays, sometimes I'd go to church again. Yeah, I was that guy, amen. We need more guys and gals like that. I'd also go to a small group. On Monday, we had a thing called Bill Murray Mondays, if you want to know what that is. Quite simply, it's Bill Murray Mondays. Tuesdays, we had a bowling night where we'd go roll for a couple hours, and it was a wonderful thing, and I even bought a bowling ball. If anybody needs one, let me know. Wednesdays, we had Bible studies, and then came Thursday and Friday, which were really sketchy because I didn't really have much going on, so that's when I got busy texting, pulling out the old Sidekick. Remember the frap? Remember that? Any of y'all remember the? Come on, Sidekicks? Oh, rest in peace. Yeah, I mean, hallelujah. I'd be texting people, hey, what are y'all up to? I'd be texting Tony and Shannon, what are you guys doing tonight? And they'd be like, well, we're, you know, it's a date night. And I'm like, cool, where are you going? I'll meet you there. Like, I figured out, oh, I get what they were trying to do. My bad. Anyway, see you soon. But I was just reaching out. I was just filling up my life with other brothers and sisters because I needed that. And who are you filling your life up with? What does your schedule look like? And I'm saying this is not a reality for many people. I understand that. But I'll push back a little and say, do you have any time? Do you carve out any time in your life for other brothers and sisters apart from the 4 minutes when you get in and the 3 minutes when you get out? That's not going to cut it. That's not going to do well for you. You've got to be filling up your life with some Holy Spirit-filled people, amen? And maybe you're going, this discipleship stuff sounds great. I just don't know where my next step is. Thank you for all the pointers, but what do I do next? Let me make it really easy for you. One place where discipleship is bursting through the seams here is through our small groups. We have over 40 small groups at the Rock Church, which is incredible because a COVID year, our small groups, you think they would have been like, they actually went, and 8 new small groups when the whole world shut down. Praise God for the local church. But there's so many small groups. There's 40 different seasons of life, different days of the week, mornings, evening. There are small groups on Bible studies through the sermon series, topical idea series. There's small groups on marriage. There's small groups geared for parenting. There's small groups about how to manage your money, financial freedom, and stuff like that. There's men's groups. There's women's groups. There's accountability groups. There's young adults groups. There's some single groups. There's so many opportunities for you to get plugged in, to get influenced by some other brothers and sisters. Somewhere you can land and share life together. Because let's be honest, it can be real difficult to get some time in with some believers after church on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning. It's busy. There's traffic. The kids are running around. You've got the crock pot going. Lots of stuff, right? And there's just the, I can't talk during the sermon because then I'll be that guy talking during the sermon. So it's like there's a small window of opportunity to get some influence by other brothers and sisters. So small group might be your next step. It's such an easy way to get involved in other people's lives. And you need those opportunities. You need to carve some time out of your schedule to be influenced by other brothers and sisters. We're passionate about that. The Bible's serious about that. The Bible instructs us in so many ways. Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron. Man, it is good to have a brother or sister who's following up with me, asking me some hard questions, and then asking me if I'm being honest about that hard question they asked me. God's placed these people in our life for a reason. In Ecclesiastes, it says, two are better than one, and woe to him who is alone, and he doesn't have someone to lift him up. You ever been there? And the Christian life is designed for companionship. It's not about isolation. It's not the lone ranger walk. You're a big bad boy. You got it all figured out. You don't. Man, we need help. We need to be tied to some other brothers and sisters in the Lord because we can't just do this alone. And if you believe that, if you think you can be a part of the bride, I'm a part of Jesus. I'm the body. I'm a son and daughter of the Lord, but I don't need to be a part of the body. That's catastrophic to your faith. You will not find that leg to stand on in the Bible. That will not end well for you. You need the brothers. You need the sisters who can come alongside you and lift you up and be in your corner. Some of the brothers who poured into me, who took me on when I came through these church doors, they've become some of my best friends. These guys have been involved in every area of my life from when I was this young, mad, death metal dude walking into the church, thinking I'm better and smarter than everybody, to really the Lord humbling me and being like, you don't know anything, son. But from that season of my life to like a less aggressive and naive dude who is now like getting engaged, and then I became this guy, now I was all of a sudden married, and then I became a daddy, and it's like, all through every one of those little stages of my life, these brothers have been in my corner, rooting me on, instructing me, training me, correcting me, loving me. These guys have been there through everything, not just for 20 minutes at church, not just for an hour and a half at their house at small group, but everywhere. These guys have been at the hospital hanging out with us when our babies were born. These guys officiated my wedding. They were my men in my line. These guys, we've planned vacations. Deacon Paul's gone on multiple vacations with us just because he's Paul. Happy early birthday, by the way, Paul. Happy birthday tomorrow, Paul. We love you so much. These are my brothers. They've helped officiate, helped run my dad's funeral, sang songs at my dad's funeral. They were my pallbearers at my dad's funeral. These are men who were not afraid or too busy to just come sit in my house and watch me cry for the last 4 months. You need family like that, fam. These brothers have influenced my life. Do not miss out on the blessing that God has for you sitting next to you. Don't do that. The Lord has placed these people in your life to build you up, to love the Lord more. Tap into that. So I'm going to ask you, what influence do other believers have on you? Think about that. How much of your life is committed to the other brothers and sisters? Here at the Rock Church, the men and the women here, we are passionate about building into you. We are committed to building you up in your identity in Jesus, who you are, who God's called you to be, who he says you are, your value, your worth in this world. The men and women here, we are deeply committed to helping you build strong marriages and families. We have pre-marriage counseling here at the Rock Church. We have Tuesday morning marriage counseling for you here at the Rock Church. We have sermon series you can get on the Rock Church app. We've had marriage conferences that we've done. We've got small groups geared towards married couples. We are committed to helping you grow in your relationship with Jesus and with your spouse. We are committed about building into you as parents. This Rock Church, man, we have a lot of babies. We have a lot of kids here. We have the coolest, most rad kids Rock Church programs here. We have parenting series. Again, go to the Rock Church app. We've done parenting conferences. We have youth group on Thursday nights for your 6th to 12th graders. Every year, like the bake sale mentioned, we're sending kids to mission discipleship training. We have small groups focused on parenting. We're passionate about building into you and your children to see them go in the way the Lord has called them to go. We are committed to building into you biblical wisdom when it comes to your money. Oh, we're going to go there. We're going to go there. Lock the door. I'm going to be honest. Hey, guys, we talk about your money more than most churches. And it's not just that normal the tithe thing, right? We'll do the tithe thing, but it's also not like 27 reasons why you shall be convicted and give more so your pastors can drive Rolls Royces. We don't get that out of here. But the Bible has a lot to say about money, your money, the wisdom of it, the dangers of it, how to be good stewards with it. We want to help you in that area. You see, none of these things are just a program. That's not just a church service. It's a body of believers that God has put into your life that is committed to loving you like Jesus has loved them. Discipleship, influence. This isn't a program that the church offers. This is an entire way of life devoted to Jesus and to one another. I hope you believe that. I hope you believe that the local church is committed to building into you through the good and the hard times. When marriage is hard, right, the church doesn't just back away. When parenting is a nightmare, when singleness is a burden, when your career feels like it's going nowhere, God has given you a sweet, sweet family here that will nourish you, that will come alongside and love you, and that will protect you, and that will fight with you. The women and the men who make up this church is committed to building into you. So I ask you, are you committed to them? Are you building up and loving the believers around you like they have loved you? Are you loving them like Jesus has loved you? If you're ready to get serious about your walk with Jesus and with his sons and daughters, I want to encourage you to do something. You can go to this link right now on your phone, trc.life/disciple. If you want to take this next step in discipleship, in men and women pouring their life into you, being influenced by other believers. Fill that out. It'll take you 2 minutes. We'll follow up with you. We'd love to help you get connected and get serious about this. And lastly, our final big idea. A disciple is being an influence on others. Did you know that you have that responsibility to pour your life, to be available, to build up other believers in the local church? In Colossians 3, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a church. He wasn't speaking to the pastor. He was speaking to the whole church when he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, every one of you, and teach and admonish one another in all wisdom." The Bible's called you to that plate. Swing. God's placed you in this church for a reason. You are a part of this family for a reason. You are made in the image of God. What you have to offer is valuable. Your influence, your presence is so beneficial to the men and women around you. Whether you think that your life has an impact or not, it matters to the local church. There's an old African proverb that says this: if you think you are too small to influence others, you haven't spent the night with a mosquito. That is true. Whether you've been here for 20 years or 20 minutes, your presence is going to have an impact. You're going to influence somebody with every interaction, every conversation. The Lord is going to give you an opportunity to be a good, godly influence on those around. And we want to help you grow in this area of building into one another. Wrap your minds around this. As Christians, discipleship, we know this, but it's good to be reminded of this, that discipleship is others-focused. That means the people past the tip of our noses focused. In Hebrews 10, it teaches us that we should be considering how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. This is others-focused. God's called us to be present in the lives of others, committed to gathering together as brothers and sisters, considering our influence that we have on others. When we come to church, do you think about that? When you come to church, the opportunities you have to influence others, that coming to church is not just about me, it should be about Jesus, but also, oh, look at the people that, of God that I'm with, that I'm worshiping the Lord with. Oh, I have an opportunity here to love on some people. God wants to use you. And be mindful of the interests of other people. Paul says that in Philippians, right? Let us not look to our own interests, but also the interests of others. Others. Me? No, others. Oh, but I really like this. Others. Care about the things that others care about, right? Don't just talk and talk and talk about your thing, but ask and ask and ask about their thing. Listen and engage. Dig deeper with them. If they're struggling, lift them up. If they're celebrating, party with them. Discipleship is a really great way to get the attention off of ourselves and our problems and Eeyore and, oh, if I just had this. It's a really great opportunity for us to be like, hey, how are you? How can I lift you up? I'm kind of a dumpster fire, but I would love to help you if I can. Additionally, did you know that you can have an influence on people that aren't exactly like you? Let me tell you about my homie Josh. When I was a new Christian, I was pretty rough around the edges. Quite honestly, we are polar opposites. His interests compared to mine, we like nothing in common. He was, here we go, for all my old schoolers. He was a little bit country, and I'm a little bit rock and roll. That's such a dumb photo. I am the guy Josh's parents warned him about when he went to high school. And then I rolled into his church. God's got a great sense of humor. But Josh is like an engineer. I was a touring musician. He had like 3, then 4, then 5 kids. And I had like never even held a baby. Josh's hair has never been longer than like 1 1/4 inches. We didn't have a lot in common, and I'm sure Josh in his flesh would have never taken a risk on a dude like me, and I wouldn't either. And honestly, in my flesh, Josh is kind of the last dude that I would want to hang out with. He's like, he has Star Trek movies memorized. He likes math. And he still owns 0 Metallica records. I've been working on like 15 years and no luck. Pray for your boy. But he saw through all of that mess that was me, and he saw me through the lens of how Jesus saw me. He understood the impact and the influence that he could have on a really messy dude. So Josh just began to pursue me, you know? He just, Lord, give me strength. All right, Brian, sure. And we'd hang out every week. I'd see him at church just loving his wife and his kids and the church, and he'd give me books to read, and then I'd read the books, and then he'd give me more books, and I'd read those books, and he'd give me like a whole bunch of books, and I'd be like, I'm done asking Josh about books. But we'd schedule opportunities to hang out at least every other week or so. He would have me over and feed me spaghetti with his kids, and I would come to his house for small group. I would go on mission trips with him. I became a part of their family. I was like Josh and Krista's oldest boy. I was like their 25-year-old. Point being, who's the Brian in your life? Who's somebody that needs a lot of help that you've got what it takes that can help? What influence do you have on others? Do you have a person in your life that you could be meeting with, that you are meeting with? There's your disciple. Does someone come to mind when you're thinking about that? Oh, yeah, I could pour some time into that gal or sister. That's your disciple. Be committed. Step up to the plate. Reach out. Get in the game. So when it comes to the influence Jesus has on our life, the influence that other believers have on our life, and the influence that we have on others, this local church, the bride, Jesus' beloved, is designed and committed to help you grow. So where do we go from here? Matthew 28, right? That great commission. What Jesus has called every one of us to. Every one of us who profess him as Lord. I guess I'll ask you straight up, are you a Christian? Not do you go to church, do you take up a seat on the weekend, but I'm asking, are you a Christian? Yes or no? Have you made that decision? Do I believe the gospel that God has come into the world, Jesus has died and saved me from my sin, and by faith I've confessed and cried out to him to save me, and I believe that he rose from the grave to save me, and I am united with Christ forever. Do you believe that? Yes or no? Then ask yourself, if yeah, I'm a Christian, then say, Maybe where do I need to grow? How does Jesus building into me? Maybe it's God's word. Do I take God's word serious? Is the Lord influencing me as much as Instagram cats I follow and Instagram recipes and Instagram hair products? And what's influencing me? Maybe I need to grow with the Lord. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe I gotta get serious. Maybe I need to stop praying about my meals. Maybe I should talk to the Lord about something more than just nourishing my body. Maybe you're going, where do I need to obey Jesus? What about this? For some of you, it might be this. See that word right there, baptize. Uh-oh. Not trying to throw some shade, but I'm going to throw some shade. There are some people in this room who love the Lord with all their heart. They're serving at church. They're in small groups. They're in community. They're in disciples. They're loving people. But you haven't obeyed Jesus here with baptism. Maybe for you today, that needs to be your next step. And I'm inviting you this Easter in 2 weeks. Why don't you obey Jesus? Why don't you demonstrate to the whole world, demonstrate to the Lord that you identify with him, that you belong to him? Why don't you demonstrate that with your baptism this Easter at the Rock? Go to that link and fill that out. We would love to see you honor and obey Jesus in that way. And maybe your next step is getting involved with a small group. There's a link right there. Get plugged in. There are some awesome groups waiting for you. If you need any questions, you have any questions about some of these groups, hit me up. I'd love to help you get plugged in. And lastly, again, this link, trc.life/disciple. If you're ready to dive into this realm of discipleship, if you're going, yeah, I think that's what I'm missing. I need some other believers in my life. I want you to go to that link. Take you 2 minutes. Go, I want to be discipled. Or maybe it's, I want to disciple. You're going, man, I have a lot to give. Where are these people? Give them, hook me up. I want to pour some time and energy into some of these people. Head to that link and fill out those questions. I'd really encourage you to do that. The band's going to come back up now. As we close, I'll just finish with this. The Rock Church, we are very serious about discipleship because Jesus is serious about discipleship. When someone becomes a follower of Jesus, they're on a lifelong path of being transformed and growing in their holiness, and so much of that happens in the context of the local church. We are not just about reaching the world, the lost. We are a church that is equally passionate about influencing and building into you. So I'll leave you with this. What kind of influence do you have? Who's building into you, and who are you building into? Jesus has called us up to the big leagues, and he invites every one of us to step up to the plate, to love others like he has loved us. Let's get building. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word. Your word is true. Thank you for this commission, this life that you've given us. Lord, would you help us as your sons and daughters to take this charge, this commission, this command more seriously? Lord, we need your help. It's hard to love people. And Jesus, if anybody knew that, it was you, right? Because look who's talking, huh? Lord, we just ask for your grace. We ask that by your power of the Holy Spirit, you'd give us a desire, a passion for your people. Lord, I ask that you would make those people clear in our lives. If there's that brother or there's that sister in our life that we go, Lord, that's my disciple. Would we tap into that? Or maybe it's, Lord, who is that person that could pour into me? God, I pray that you would help move us along in that area. We love you, Jesus. We're going to sing another song because you're beautiful and you're worthy of our praise. You're worthy to be sung about. So we're going to do that. We're going to honor you with our mouth and our vocal cords, Jesus, as we worship you with our final song. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.